We're holding on page Zion Omid Bey's five lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about blood that got mixed in with various other liquids when it's still considered blood as far as Kisi Adam, and we talked about also as far as other dinim, as far as when you can still sprinkle it on the Mizbeach and when a person can be Chayiv Karis for eating it. We mentioned in that connection, what about if it's not mixed with other liquid, but rather the plasma of the blood itself, where you have the other components of the blood have precipitated out, and all you have left is the clear yellowish liquid. When is a person Chayiv Karis for it or not? So now continuing on that topic, as far as blood and blood like liquids. The Gemara says Tznan Hossam. We learned there. Now Tznan Hossam usually means a Mishnah. However, Tosfos points out that this is a Braisa. So even though usually the word Tznan refers to a Mishnah, nevertheless we have exceptions, and here we're referring to a Braisa. So the Braisa says Kol Mashgia Meista Hodin. Any liquids that come out of a person after he died are tohor, are not metami. So, for example, if after the person died, you have tears or milk or whatever came out of the body, then it's not metame. Chutz midame, with the exception of the blood, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, the blood of a mess is metame. We had a machloikus, whether it's only when you have a revius from only one mess, or is it enough, or can you even have a revius from two mess and would combine together. But in any case, blood that comes out of a mess after he dies is metame, but other liquids not. Tosfos points out that, wait a minute, don't they touch the mess as they come out? Wouldn't they become tummy for that reason alone? So Tosfos ends up explaining, first of all, that we could be talking about that, let's say, they came out in a tube. Now, let's say, for example, you could easily have a person passes away, but the catheter is still in, and then, for example, urine comes out of them after they're gone, and the same thing. It could be with other liquids. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe not, actually. Maybe you don't even need that. Maybe the Chachamim didn't make Xera unless you have a revius of it. And here we're talking about when you have less than. Okay, in any case, so, and the Braisa continues, the whole Mariad Mumis Shaboy Metamin Ba'ovid. Any liquid that comes out of the mess, or out of that blood, anything that has a reddish tinge to it, then it's metame a person when he's under the same roof. Meaning, in other words, if you have a revius of blood came out of the mess, and then afterwards you have that blood sat there for a while, and eventually the plasma started precipitating out of it, then that alone will be metame a person as long as it still has a reddish tinge in it. So if you were to take some of that, swell to the dhamma, some of that plasma, and take it to a different oil on mess, then it would be metame a person. But the Gemara asks, "Mashka Nesta Hodin." So you're telling me that other liquids other than blood that come out of a dead body are Tohar, they're not Matame, or a Minu, though I have a contradiction because we have a Mishnah. A Mishnah says, "Mashka Tvulyoim," liquids of a Tvulyoim. So you have a person who Tovled that day but has not yet had a head of Shemesh, who still has a lesser degree of Tohar. So Mashka Nayotim Minu, liquids that come out of his body, meaning all kinds of liquids, So saliva, milk, blood, etc. So the dinis kemashkin shenegeir behen, they have the same status as liquids that he touched them. The elu ve'elu in metamin. So neither one is metame in the chachamim. We're not gozer on it. So there's different understandings over here. Whether we mean metamin that they don't become tame from the tevul yom, or whether we mean metamin they're not metame of it. In any case, the idea is usually midrabanan liquids are always considered a rishon latrumah. So even though on a daraisa level, let's say if food that's a rishon touches liquid, then the liquid becomes a sheni. If a chachamim made a gzera that all liquids are that where any source of trumah touches a liquid, it becomes a rishon latrumah. We learned about that earlier in this mesesa, with the exception of a tevul yom. So in this case, a tevul yom, if he touches food, of cholin, nothing happens. If he touches truma, he makes it a shlishi l'truma, and if he touches kodshim, he makes them a revia truma. But the liquid that comes out of him, then the chachamim consider it like liquid that he touched, and therefore it's not metam. The chachamim will not gozer truma on it, as far as becoming chame, or as far as being metame, or as far as being metame of it. But the Mishnah continues, other tumerim, ben talan ben chamorin, whether the lesser degrees of tumor or whether the greater degrees of tumor. mashke na yotz behen, to mashke haneger behen, to mashke haneger behen. Then the dinir of liquids that come out of their body is the same as liquid that they touched. The eilu ve'eilu tchila, and therefore in both cases it's going to be a rishon l'truma, because again, the dirabanan liquids are always going to be considered a rishon l'truma. So only by tvuya, in instances, truma is already weaker because you're already terrible, then therefore the chum did not impose that zed. So, and with the further exception of liquids that are an actual avat truma, namely, certain liquids that come out of the body of a zav, and a zav and other people in his category, a zav, a nida, yeledes, all of them have the zov itself, the flow that makes the person a zov, and his saliva, and his urine, and his shichas zera. So the shifa zera of anybody is an avatoma, and then you have by a zov. In addition, you have his zov, his saliva, and his urine. Rashi explains based on a Gemara elsewhere that in order for these liquids that come out of a zov are matame minatoda, and they're considered an avatoma because the idea, the pasuk specifically mentions saliva, and we learn from that saliva collects in the body before it's expelled. So the same thing, anything else that collects in the body before it's expelled is in the same category, as opposed to there are other things such as tears that are not in the same category. So tears and then blood from a wound and then a woman's milk. So in other words, you have like this. If a zov's saliva or urine or his zov itself or his shechazera or anybody's shechazera is an avatoma. Other liquids that come out of him, we're saying, such as his tears or a woman's milk, would be medirabanan, would be medirabanan arishin l'truma. And the same thing, then, if a zov touches any liquids, or if any source of truma touches liquids, then they become an avatruma. And then you have a tvul yom touches those liquids, or those liquids come out of a tvul yom's body, then they're not metame, like we said before. Now, the point is, when the Mishnah had mentioned kalin and chamurin, my kalin and my chamurin, what do we mean by kalin and chamurin in this regard? My love, kalin sheretz v'zov, shouldn't we assume that kalin refers to a sheretz and a zov which have a lesser degree of trauma? Sheretz is natami, a person, he just looks a toivo in the mikveh, and that's it, and then he has head of shemesh, and then that's it. A zov has a stronger degree of truma, but nevertheless, he's batame, for example, anything he sits on, etc. But nevertheless, he's still kal relative to a mess, v'chamurin mess, and then chamurin of the Mishnah would refer to a mess. And the Mishnah seems to be saying that liquids that come out of a mess are matame. So what are you telling me before? A braisa that says that liquids other than blood that come out of a mess are not matame. So the Gemara says, well, no, the Mishnah doesn't mean kalin and chamurin is not referring to a mess at all. Kalin sheretz v'chamurin zav. It means the kalin refers to a sheretz, chamurin refers to a zav who has a stronger degree of tumah in the sense that, again, anything that he sits on or lies on or whatever is going to be metami. But the Mishnah is not addressing a mess, and in fact, liquids that come out of a mess would be tahor. Well, then the question is, Maishna Zov goes Rebbe Rabbanon, or Maishna Mestaloi goes Rebbe Rabbanon. Well, then what's the difference? Why by a Zov would we say that any liquids that come out of his body are Matame? So again, you have the few liquids that are Matame Minatura, his saliva and the various other ones that we mentioned before. So fine, those are Matame Minatura, there's no question about those. But the other liquids, for example, Zov's tears, or blood from a wound of his, we said those are only matam and medirabana, and they're rish and l'truma. Why is that? So why would the chachamim make that gzera by a zov? Or maishna mes to legozu beirabana, and why instead by a mess would the chachamim not make that gzera? Rakiva Eger points out that actually that's not really such a question. The answer would be because since by a zov you have certain liquids that are an avatoma, therefore the chachamim would be gozer on the other liquids as well. The real question would be then, what's the difference between sheretz and a mess? By neither one is there any liquid that comes out of them that's matame minatora. So then, why would the chacham make zera by a sheretz? Is the real question, and not by a zov. And the answer is so by a sheretz and a zov. Why would there be that rule? And the answer is zov de la divi in shemine. The answer is people don't necessarily stay away from a zov. Because after all, he's alive, so and then his tumor is not so noticeable, so people don't necessarily stay away from him. So the Lord did the Inshimine, people don't necessarily stay away from him, because Rebbe Rabbanan, therefore the Chachamim had reason to make an extra gzera on liquids that come out of him, such as his tears, so that this way people will know that he has a serious degree of tumor, and they should stay away so they don't become tumor on a Daraisa level. But a dead body, people naturally stay away from it anyway. They realize it's dead. They realize it's a strong degree of tumor. Like those who made up on, and therefore the Chum did not have to make a gzera about the liquids that come out of it. Tosfos has a long discussion over here when we said before about the liquid of a Tvur Yoim. When we said liquid that comes out of him, are we talking about just liquids that come out of his body? What about liquids that he touches? Would he actually be Matame then? And it seems from various places that yes, if he touches liquids, then they do become, like we said before, Shlishi, Revi, and Latruma, respectively. But then Tosfos goes on and has a whole discussion about that. Okay. In any case, so there we've established then. So blood that comes out of a mess is in fact Matame, and not only the blood, but we said even the plasma, if it has a reddish color to it. However, other liquids that come out of a mess are not Matame. With that said, though, we will learn in Masechta Yudah, Be'ez Hashem, at the very end of Shas, that there are certain cases. There are certain cases where a mess continues to have a degree of Tumas Zov or Zova or whatever, even after they're dead, for reasons of Exeter Zerabbanon that we will learn about over there, Be'ez Hashem. Getting back now to matters of Kisi Adam, the Mishnah had said Dam Hanitas Shalasatim before. The Mishnah had said blood that squirted out of the area where you were intending to share, or blood that's on the knife. So the Tanakhama had said you have to cover it. Rabbi Yehuda had said Amasai. When is that? When that's the only blood available. But if there's other blood available, then Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to cover blood that's squirted away from that area or blood that's left on the knife. So the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. We learn in a Braisa. Let's get into more details about that. The pasuk says the chisahu. The pasuk says he should cover it. So from that we learn that the blood that's squirted or the blood on the knife, you have to cover, because in the chisahu you have to cover all of it. The Tanakhama is saying. Omer of Yehuda, aim aside, but Rabbi Yehuda says when is that? Like he said in the Mishnah, is man change from dam elohu when that's the only blood that's available. But if you have other blood other than what's on the knife, or it's squirted away, then Rabbi Yehuda says you'd be potter from covering it. Now, in the Mishnah, as we learned yesterday, we often say that when Rabbi Yehuda says Amasai in a Mishnah, then it means he's not coming to argue, he's coming to clarify. So therefore, in the Mishnah, he wasn't necessarily arguing with the Tanakhama. But here in the Braisa, it seems more clear, because when they're in the Braisa over here, the Tanakhama is clearly saying, You have to cover what's on the knife and what's on the and what was squirted. So Rabbi Yehuda over here it would seem is arguing. So this rule that when Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Gemara says elsewhere, that when Rabbi Yehuda says Amasai, then he's not arguing, he's just clarifying, and the halacha would be like him. That would be only in Mishnayos, not in Braisos. Tosfos says, in fact, over here the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda, because. Precisely because in the Mishnah we can say he's only explaining and not arguing. Tosfos holds the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in that regard, that you have to cover the blood on the knife or that squirted only if it's the only blood available. There are other Rishonim disagree with that and say the halacha is like the halacha is like the Tanakhama that you would have to cover regardless. The Gemara says, Tani Yidach, we learn in another Braisa. When it says, V'chisohu, he should cover it. Melamed should hold Domoy, Chayab Lachasis. That teaches us that he has to cover all the blood. Mekan Amu, from there, the Chacham said, again, Dam HaMikdash, the blood that's squirted away, and he was a new twist, Sha'al Agapayim, or the blood that is located on the Agapayim. Now, agapayim literally means like the wings or the adjuncts or something. Earlier in the Masechta, for example, we use the word agapayim to refer to the wings of a bird or the scapula of a bird that run along the side of it. But the basic meaning of agaf is a wing. In modern Hebrew, for example, they use it for a wing of a building or a department of an agency or something. Over here, Agapayim, Rashi explains, means the walls around the base of Shita, the walls, the sides of the neck of the animal, where blood dripped down over there. So the Tanakhama is saying that you would have to, that Chayiv Vachasis, you would have to cover that as well. So you'd have to scrape off that blood from the outside of the neck, according to the Tanakhama, and cover it as well. Not just the blood that gushed out. But then Reb Shimon Gamliel says, when is that talking about? Only if he did not cover the dam hanefesh, which is that major gush of blood with which the animal's or the bird's life leaves it. So you have the different ways in which the blood comes out, and the slightly different colorations that it has during the process of shchita and afterwards, which so you have one particular huge gush of blood, which is bright red. So that kind of thing is dama nefesh, and they have different opinions of tanoim, which other parts of it would also be considered dama nefesh. Anyway, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you didn't cover dama nefesh, then you need to cover the blood that squirted away, or the blood that's found on the sides of the neck. Avo kisa dama nefesh, but says Rav Shimon Gamliel, if you did cover the dama nefesh, potter melachasis, then you would be potter from kisi adam, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Michael Mechagi, well, what's the argument? What's the underlying argument? So like this, Rabbanon, Savri the Chacham hold, when it says you have to cover, the shafach has domai, you should spill its blood, the chisahu ba'offer, and cover it with dirt. That means, the Chacham say, kol domai, it means all its blood. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Domei Vafu the Mixes Domei, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds the word Domei can equally well mean some of the blood. So even the Dama Nefesh, Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't require you to cover all of it. As long as you covered some of it, then Rabbi Yehuda would consider it good enough. Therefore, he says, so if the only blood available is the blood on the knife, etc., then you have to cover it. But otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda says, as long as you covered some of the Dama Nefesh, then it's good enough. As we learned before, there are Mephoshim who say that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he agrees that Lachachila, you should be covering all of it, but he's just saying that you don't need to. Reb Shimon Gamliel, Sava, Reb Shimon Gamliel, there's a third opinion he holds. Domoi, Hamiyuchad, the word Domoi, its blood, means the special blood, that is to say the Dama Nefesh. So you have three opinions, in other words. It comes out that according to the Rabbanon, all the blood, both Dama Nefesh and not, has to be covered. According to Reb Yehuda, even the Dama Nefesh, you need to do only a little bit. And according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you need to cover the whole Dama Nefesh, but you don't need to cover any other. You don't need to cover any other blood. So basically, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that again, if there's only the squirted blood or the blood on the knife, then you do have to do kisi adam with it. If you have other blood, then you don't need to cover it because you don't in fact need to cover all the blood. Therefore, in fact, the mechaber says you don't even have to wait until all the blood comes out. Although the Rama adds, better you should wait until it starts dripping out. That way, at least you're covering some of the dama nefesh. So in other words, it comes out basically again like Rabbi Yehuda, as Tosfos had said, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, since in the Mishnah he's coming only to explain rather than to argue, and therefore the halacha can be like him. Okay. Next. Now that we talked about what needs to be covered, let's talk about how you cover it. What is the definition of kisi adam? What are you covering it with? So the Mishnah says, "Vameh mechasin uvameh ein mechasin." What can you cover with kisi adam, and what can you not? Mechasin bezevel adam. You can cover the blood with fine dung. So you have dung of an animal, then you have if it's ground up or whatever, it's powdery, then you can cover with it. Over choil hadak, or with fine sand. The sid, you can use lime, which is made by burning limestone, and then use it for plaster. But it came as a powder, so you could do kisi adam with it. Over chausis, and you could also use chausis. Rashi explains chausis means when you take oudenware and you grind it up, and that's called chausis. In other places, Tosfos explains in different places. Rashi explains that it means if you take bricks specifically and grind them. Tosfos objects over here that actually that actually we find here, or the Mishnah is going to go on to mention specifically those things. It's going to mention ground, it's going to mention ground up earthenware, and it's going to mention ground up bricks, and therefore chausis can't really be, and therefore chausis can't really be either of those. So there is a different Rabbeinu Gershon gives a different explanation over here, that it means that it's dust that's mixed in with, it has little stones and gravel mixed into it. So it's like it's a mixture of gravel and dirt. So the Mishnah is saying that you can use that. The Ritva gives yet another explanation of how this would be a type of lime that's made from earthenware. So in other words, again, you grind up the earthenware, as Rashi says, but then you'd use it to make a type of plaster, and then that would be what the Mishnah is referring to. Okay. So you can use any of those. The Mishnah continues. Ulavena, over Magufa Shakoshan, you can also use a brick or the stopper of a barrel, which is also made out of clay, the koshon that you crush them and ground them up. So those also are valid for kisi adam. Aval, but the Mishnah continues. In machasim loy bezevel agas, you cannot use coarse dung. It has to have been ground up finely. Loy bechorel agas, you can't use coarse sand, as we're going to learn on other days, for example. You can't use desert sand, for example. Loy belevenum over megufa shloy koshon, you can't use a brick or the stopper of a barrel which you did not crush. You can't just cover it with a brick, and you can't just cover it with a stopper with the stopper of a barrel. Nor can you just cover it with a keli. In order to do kisi adam, you have to use something which is powdery, which covers the blood, as we're going to go on to say now in the Mishnah and the Gemara, what the rules are of what you can use for the purpose. For example, you can't just cover it with a keli. In fact, the Simul Chadasha says if you did cover it with something that you can't use for kisi adam, you do need to uncover it and do a proper kisi adam. However, you shouldn't make a bracha at that point because you already covered it with something, and therefore you can say that basically it was covered after all, and therefore it was nidcha. We did learn before in dichriyos it's a mitzvah, but nevertheless, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can make a bracha on it. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Heifi domi chol hadak." What exactly do we mean by fine sand? How fine is fine? Amar Rav Rabbanan, Amar Rabbi Yechonan, kol shein ayotzet tzorich lechostrei. A glassmaker is going to be using sand when he doesn't need to grind it up further. So if it's at the consistency where he can use it as is, then that's the kind you can use for kisi adam. But if he needs to grind it further, then no good. The Gemara says, "Ve'ikah demasni la'asefa." Now there are others who learn Rav Rabbanan's statement as referring to the sefa, that when the sefa had said, "Avalein machasin." I skipped a line in the Mishnah. Klal Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel had said a general rule. Here is how you tell what you can do for kisi adam and what not. Anything that plants will grow in machasin bar, then you can cover with anything used for kisi adam. If it won't grow plants, then you can't cover in it. Tosfos points out, first of all, Reb Shimon Gamliel is not arguing with the Tanakhama. Again, like we had before with Reb Yehuda, he's coming to clarify and to give us a general rule that you should realize what's what. Tosfos also points out, though, that there's a different Gemara that says that chausis won't grow plants. So then how can the Mishnah say over here that you can use chausis? And the answer is plants will grow in it, but very, very little. You'll get if you plant seeds in chausis, then they'll barely grow, and you won't even get out maybe as much as you planted. But something will grow there. Therefore, it can be considered Javashim Gabal Tzmachim, and therefore it'll follow Rav Shimon Gamliel's rule. As opposed to, we're going to learn on Amud Beis, other kinds, first of all, things that we mentioned in our Mishnah, for example, an uncrushed brick or whatever, or coarse sand, nothing is going to grow in it at all, and therefore you can't use it. And on Amud Beis, we're going to learn other examples as well. Okay, so anyway, so the Gemara had started off, Heichi Dami Chol Hadaf, what do we mean by fine sand? Amar Rabba Vachon Amar Mirchen, Kol Shein Ayotzeh Tzorech Lefoshoy, when a glass blower, or whatever, somebody who's making kalim out of sand does not need to grind it up any further, then it's considered chol dak, and then you can use that. But then there are those who learn Rabbi Rabbanan's statement as referring to the sefer.
where it said, Aval ein machasim loy bezevel agas v'le b'choy lagas, you can't do kisi adam with coarse, with coarse dung or with coarse sand. So now the question would be, hey, Shidami, what's the definition of coarse sand in that connection? And the answer would be, Amr Rav Labachon, Amr Abichan, the other way around, Kol Shai Yotze Tzorech Lachostrei, when a glass blower and a glass maker will need to grind it up further, then it's not fine enough to use for kisi adam. Well, the Gemara says, "My benayah." Well, what's the difference between the two versions? Either way, if the glassmaker needs to grind it up, then it's no good for kisi adam, and if he doesn't need to, then it is good. So, what's the difference? Whether we learn Rav Abachana's statement as referring to the Reisha or the Sefer? And the answer is, "Ikabinayah, but tzorech for like tzorech." What about if it needs it but doesn't need it? In the sense, the mifrach ifruchi. What about if it can be crushed by hand rather than needing to be ground up with a keli? So in other words, let's say for example a sandstone. So a glass blower is not going to be able to use it as is. He's going to have to grind it up into its constituent grains of sand. But what about if it's soft enough that he can break it up by hand? So now, according to the first lashon, then we would say, she'ena yotzet tzorech l'chostrei, a glassmaker does not need to grind it up. Well, fine, he doesn't need to grind it up. He just breaks it up by hand, and therefore, so according to that, you could use that for kisi adam. But on the other hand, according to the second lashon, even if it breaks up by hand, then it's still considered like coarse sand, because in the second version, what it was is koshay yotzet tzorech l'chostrei, where he does need to crush it, and the fact is he does need to crush it over here by hand. So according to Rashi, then this kind of thing, like sandstone or whatever, according to the first lashon you could use it, according to the second one you can't. The Rush brings from the Reef the other way around, that it means that if it breaks apart easily, that if you can crush it easily by hand, then the first version would say the fact is it did need crushing, tzorech l'chostrei, and therefore you can't use it for kisi adam. But it's not really chol hagas either. It's not really coarse sand, and therefore according to the second version you could use it. So in Shulchan Aruch in the end it says it says only if a glass maker does not need to grind it up at all. So in other words, according to that, it would mean that even if it needs to be broken up by hand, then nevertheless that wouldn't be good enough, and you still can't use it. You have to have sand, which is naturally usable as is by the glass maker. Okay. The Gemara says, "Tanan Abanan." We learn in a Braisa. We said in the Mishnah that you can only use certain kinds of things for kisi adam. But why? After all, the pasuk just says v'chisahu. The pasuk says you should cover it. Maybe that means with anything. So when pasuk says v'chisahu, when the pasuk says you should cover it, yachu yichasenu ba'avanim. You would think it's good enough if he just covers it with rocks, or yichbal of a sakli, or just overturn a keli over it. And we said in the Mishnah you can't do that. So how do we know that not? Tanan Abanan ba'offer. Therefore, the pasuk says you have to cover it ba'offer with dust. Now, the Ainli Ella offer, now though from that you would only know that it means literally you can only use actual dust. Minayin Rabbis Zevel Adak, how do we know that we can include fine dung, like we learned in the Mishnah, V'chol Adak, or fine sand, or Shchikas Avanim, ground up stones, that would also be said that we said that if it needs to be ground up, you can't use it, implying in other words, once you did in fact grind it up, then you could. So how do you know that? Or shchikas charsis, or if you grind up charsis, according to the different possibilities we said before of what charsis is, or na'oras pishtam daka, or here's another one that you could also cover with shavings, with combings of flax. When you have flax, it grows in stalks. Eventually, you have to break the stalks in order to get out the fibers, and then you have little bits of stalk that are embedded among the flax fibers, and then you comb them out. It's very flammable stuff. We find it all over Shas. It's used as an example of something very, very flammable. But here also, it's a fine powdery material. Daka, specifically when it's thin and powdery. So how do we know you can use that? On a soda, you could also use, for example, fine sawdust. Resib, or you could use plaster or lime, as we said in the Mishnah. V'charsis, and you can use charsis, also as we said in the Mishnah. All of levain, v'charsis, v'charsis levana, v'charsis levaina or megufa shakostran, or a brick or a stopper of a barrel, which you crush them. Now here you actually have two different gyrsas. The gyrsa in front of us in the Gemara is chausis levena, without a, and the word levena is without a vav. In that case, then it would mean that, so it would mean maybe not levena, but maybe not levena, brick, but rather levana, white. And therefore, so before, when Rashi had defined chausis as ground up earthenware, post for said objective, the Mishnah goes on to mention ground up earthenware, and therefore there'd be no need. So now the Bach gives an explanation that the Marshal gives an explanation that what it means is that that what it means is that the word is not levena, a brick, but rather levona, white. And therefore, it's two things that go together over here. The house is levona and white house is, and that would be what Rashi is referring to and saying that, when Rashi is referring to earlier and saying that it means that you can, that, so it is the Bach explains that, the Bach on the tour explains it, that chausis levona is a different kind of chausis, different than what we mentioned before, regular chausis. In any case, so according to Rashi, the Gyrsa would be, as we have it in front of us in the Gemara, the Chausis Lavana and white Chausis, according to the other Rishonim, the Gyrsa would be the Chausis or Chausis Ulavena or a brick or Magufa or a stopper of a barrel, Shakostran, that you ground them up. Anyway, how do you know? You can use all those things, the Braisa says, given that the Pasuk says, but offer, maybe you'd have to use dust. Tamad Lama, the Chisohu, that is why. The Pasuk after all said, the Chisohu, that you should cover it, implying that there are other things other than offer that are usable for covering. In other words, it actually explains if it meant just to say that you can cover only with dirt, then it could have said the shofach dama spill out the blood over offer yichasenu, and then in dust you should cover it. Then it would mean only dust, nothing else. But now when it says v'chisahu, we can understand that by itself that you cover it, meaning with something. What the something is the offer has to be dust or some kind of dust. But So now the Mishnah continues, the Braisa continues. Yochoshani Marva after Zevel Agas. Well, in that case, if we're going to be darshaning from the word v'chisohu, maybe you could include also coarse dung, v'chol agas, or coarse sand, or shchikas clay matras, or ground up metal kalim, with none of which are called offer, with one exception, as we'll see soon, or levenu megufa shalei pastron, or a brick or a stopper of a barrel which you didn't crush, the kemach or flour, the subin or bran or mursan or wheat germ. So all of those things are also fine powdery things. How do we know you can't use any of those? Rashi defines the difference between subin and mursan. Subin would be what when you're sifting the flour, then the subin remains behind, so it's bran. Mursan would be, Rashi explains, when you grind up the wheat, then you have peels or shells that come out of it, so that would be basically more or less the wheat germ. Anyway, so how do you know that you can't use any of those for kisi adam? So Talmud Lema, be'offer, after all, the Pasuk says be'offer, in dust, meaning that you have to use dust. So in other words, it comes out, we have a ribui and we have a mir from the Pasuk. On the one hand, we have a ribui from the word v'chisohu, that you can do more than just offer. And on the other hand, you have the word ba'offer, which implies that you're limited in what you can do. So now the question is, v'mara isa, v'rabba sasevu, v'lohoitzi asevu. So then what's the logic to include things in the first group and exclude things in the second group? By the way, Tosfos points out, we said before, Reb Shimon Gamliel's rule that if something won't grow plants, then you can't do kisi adam with it. The question is that if you grind up metal, we find in other Gemaras that in fact plants will grow in it. So Tosfos says no, it doesn't mean if you were to take a plant and plant it only in metal shavings or whatever, it wouldn't grow. What we mean is that it can be used as a fertilizer for the ground. Tosfos gives another answer. If you burn the metal first and then you grind it up, then yes, it will be, and if then, and then it will be something effective to grow in. Here we're talking about when you ground up metal without that. Anyway, so how do we know to include one group and exclude the other? And the answer is, says the Braisa, achash riba akosu v'mir. Well, once the pasuk is giving us a ribui and a mir, then we have to figure out logically what is going to be included and what is not. Marban, yes, elu, shein min offer. So we're going to include things in the first group. The fine dung, the fine sand, the ground up stones, etc., etc., shein min offer, which are a type of dust, in the sense, as Rav Shimon Gamliel said in the Mishnah, that you can grow plants in them. And then we're going to exclude the second group, she'en min offer. They're not a type of dust. If you try to grow something in there, it won't grow. Okay. So that's the logic. So the Gemara asks, but why are we doing it like that? Aim of chisohu klal offer prat. Maybe we should learn differently. The word chisohu is a klal that you can cover with anything, whether it grows plants or not, or even if it's not powdery. And offer prat, and the word offer, the dust, would be a prat. And klal prat, aim b'klal ala mashu b'prat. And when we have a klal prat, what it tells us is don't use the klal at all. Use only the prat. Limit yourself only to the prat. So we would say that it means you can only use offer aim midiach lin aloi. So you can only use dust, nothing else. How do we know that not? How do we know to include all those other things which are dust-like, but they're not actually dust? And the answer is, Amar Amari said, Amari explains, because Mishum to have a Kfal HaTzorech of the Prat. Because in this case, we have one of the Yudgimu Midas, Shatari Nidreshes, the hem that we say in morning davening, we have Kfal HaPrat, Prat HaKfal, Kfal HaPrat HaKfal, then we have Mikfal HaTzorech of the Prat, and Mikfal HaTzorech of the Kfal. Namely, sometimes you have a Kfal, which by itself is meaningless, you wouldn't be able to understand it properly, and you need the Prat, not so much to limit it. In other words, Kfal HaPrat would be, you have a general category, and then Prat tells you, no, don't use the general category, limit it only to what it says in the Pasuk. But sometimes you have the Kfal by itself, you wouldn't even understand what it's saying without having a Prat afterwards. So that's called Kfal HaTzorech LePrat. If it only said B'chisohu, then it would mean, like the Mishnah had said, just cover it with a Keli or something. So therefore, you need ba'offer to say that you need something that is going to mix together with the blood and that the blood will be absorbed into it. So dust. When you do a klal prat, when the klal refers to things in one category and it would include many different things, and the prat tells you to exclude most things from the category. Here, in other words, the klal can mean two completely different things. It can mean, Rashi explains, it can mean covering with something intact, like for example a whole keli, or it can mean covering with something powdery and grainy like dust. So therefore, the prat is explaining what kind of kisui it is that we're not talking about, given that we have two completely different types of kisui, two completely different types of things that can be described as kisui, as covering, then the prat just needs to clarify for us which one it is. Namely, that it has to be something that mixes together with the blood and the blood gets absorbed into it. And sort of Mori points out, the whole klala, sort of the prat. So when you have a klala that requires a prat like that, ain't done an osa the klala prat, then you don't judge it as a klala prat. So instead, therefore, it's now say that in fact the Torah is not limiting us only to offer, because it says v'chisohu, means there's a wide variety of things that you can use, but they have to at least be similar to offer. Namely, as we said, that they grow plants. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos has some objections on Rashi's explanation of the klal atzorech leprat over here, and explains it's not so much the fact that, as Rashi is saying, you could have understood it to mean covering with a keli versus you could understand a different kind of covering, screwing dirt over it. Rather, Tosfos explains, or Benatam explains, that what it means is, we learned at the beginning of the Perek, that Kisi Adam, you have to have dirt below and dirt above. So from the Chiso, you wouldn't have that. The Chiso just implies you cover it on the top. So you need the word offer to clarify this point that you need covering on the bottom as well. So that's another reason. That's a different reason why to call it a klal atzorech leprat. Not so much because you wouldn't know what type of covering according to Rashi, but because you wouldn't realize that that's defined as covering on bottom and on top, as we learned at the beginning of the Perek. Okay. In any case, so it's not a klal prat. It's a klal shu tzorech. So now we have an example when we say in the braisa of Rabbi Shmuel, the klal shu tzorech leprat, and the prat shu tzorech leklal. So now we have an example of klal shu tzorech leprat, which therefore we don't judge as a regular klal prat. Instead, we say therefore it means that when the Torah is telling us the offer, it means it can be other things similar to offer, as it can be other things as long as they're similar to offer. Okay.
The Gemara continues, Darash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, in the chasim ela b'darash zonin boyom atzmiach. You can cover the blood only with Rashi, by the way, points out, goes on to point out that when we say kalat sorech leprat, when we say that needs a prat, what we mean is needs it in the sense that you have to learn from it. And then Rashi points out, we're going to learn in the Sefta Bechoris in a couple of months. Rest Hashem, we're going to have another example like that of a prat, of a klal shul tzarech leprat. We're going to have another example of that where we don't doubt it as a klal or prat, but rather we have them as two separate things. Okay. So the Gemara says, Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Achista. Rav Nachman Bar Achista gave a drosha, Ein mechassim elo b'dorash zorin boyom atzmiach. You can do kisi adam only with something that you can plant in it and it will actually grow. Now in the Mishnah we had Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that. So one way of understanding it is that Rav Shimon Gamliel would refer to so Meiri gives an explanation that Rav Shimon Gamliel meant, as Tosfos had said, it doesn't even have to be that it grows well, just that even if anything grows in it at all, that's good enough. Whereas Rav Nachman Bar Achista says that it has to be the Meiri explains, Rav Shimon Gamliel's rule about Shazor and Boi Matzmiach would be, if you took a plant, if you took a sapling that was already planted someplace else and replanted in this material, would it at least stay alive and not die? So Rav Shimon Gamliel's rule would include success. Those are not Baruch Chista. Goes further and says, that's not good enough. It has to actually grow there. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that maybe indeed Rav Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah is actually arguing with the Tanakhama, and not just giving a rule, So in fact, when we said in the Mishnah that Rav Shimon Gamliel had said that if something didn't grow in it, so there is in fact, for example, chausis, Tosfos had objected, things don't grow in chausis, and Tosfos said maybe it just like grows a little bit, but not very much. The Rambam gives a different explanation. No, nothing grows in chausis, but originally, what does chausis come from? It was originally earth, it was originally clay, and then it was turned into earthenware, so now therefore it's good enough. Now, then yet a different explanation is that the Ran explains that in fact, another way of looking at it is Rav Shimon Gamliel maybe arguing with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama doesn't care whether something grows in it or not. Rav Shimon Gamliel will say that it does. And according to that, Rav Nachman Bar Achista is explaining Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Anyway, Omar Rava. So Rava says, "Hi, Burcha." This is something empty. This is a Lashon Bur. Rashi says this is like this is very incorrect to say such a thing that it should need to that it should. That it should need to be that it should need to grow plants in it in order to do kisi adam. On the side of it, here it brings from the oruch that also that burcha dover buru suzeh. This is a boorish ignorant thing to say, and somebody who says that is ignorant. So Rava is completely putting down this statement of Rav Nachman Bar Achista. Tosfos points out what Rav Nachman Bar Achista means is, in other words, he means that, well, Rashi and Tosfos both point out, it means as opposed to, for example, desert sand. Now, the Mishnah, again, might be that the Mishnah might refer to things that things will grow in it spontaneously. But here, actually, if you plant in it, it won't grow. So you wouldn't know that. And also, Tosfos points out, after all, I mean, sand is sand. You would think that if you're able to do kisi adam, find the sand, like we said before, maybe it doesn't matter whether that sand is so salty that nothing will grow in it, and therefore the Nachman Bar Achista would need to tell us that not. Tosfos also points out an interesting thing. When the Jewish people were in the desert, the sand would blossom and it would produce grass and other things like that. So when the Jewish people were in the desert, then desert sand wouldn't have had this din. But we're talking about afterwards in normal times when desert sand does not grow any plants. Anyway, so Rava completely disagrees with Rav Nachman Bar Achista's din. However, Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchok LeRava, but Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says to Rava, "My Burch say, why are you considering this something boorish and ignorant to say? I know I'm written in the Alei. You should know what I. You should know the statement of Rav Nachman Bar Achista. I told to him, Umehomas Nisa, I'm written in the Alei, and then just come up with it on my own. I derived it from the following brice. A brice is Hoy Mahalach Bamidbar. If a person is traveling in the desert, the Emei Eifel Lachasosloi, and he doesn't have any and he doesn't have any ashes to do kisi adam. So as we're going to say soon, you could use ashes for the purpose. And he doesn't have any dirt to cover it with either, again, because in other words, the point is that he can't use. Now the desert is full of sand, but evidently he can't use it because it won't grow plants. So therefore, Nachman says, you can see very clearly from this braisa that you can't use desert sand for kisi adam. So the braisa says, what should you do? What you do is you grind up gold dinner, as we're going to explain soon. Gold, you're allowed to use ground up gold, even though we said before you can't use ground up metal. Gold, as we're going to say in a moment, is an exception. So you could use grind up a gold dinner, and you can then use that for kisi adam. And now the point is, if you don't have anything that you could use for kisi adam, then you're not allowed to shef the creature. Similarly, a person is traveling on a boat, and he doesn't have any dust to do kisi adam with, and he wants to chef a wild animal or a bird. Then he can burn his talus and then make ashes that way, and then he can do kisi adam with that. So we see, in other words, now the reason the Rosh had it the other way around, that if he's on a boat, he would grind up the gold dinner, and in the desert, he would burn his talus. The Tiferes Yaakov says that seems to be a better gusa. Why in the Midbar? Why should he grind up a gold dinner, and then that gold is going to be lost to him forever? Better let him burn his talus, where at least, fine, it's worth something, but he's not losing an entire gold dinner, whereas on a boat, after all, it's in a confined area. After he does the kisi adam, later on, after the blood dries up, he can collect that gold, and eventually he'll have it, and eventually he can melt it down again and make him zenin and use it for something else. So therefore, either way, the point is, in other words, that you can use ashes, you can use gold dust, as the Gemara is going to explain in a moment. But the point is, you can't use the sand of the desert. Why not? Evidently, because no plants will grow in it. And therefore you can't use it. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says, don't criticize what Rav Nachman Baruch Chisda said, that you can't do kisi adam unless it grows plants, because from this braisa, you can see exactly that point. Well, the Gemara says, Bishlemis Serif Talisi Amachasa. Okay, so I can understand if he burns his talus and covers it. We find Ashkechon Efer de Ikri Offer. We do find in Torah where ashes are called offer. Namely, when it says about the Parah Adumah, it says that you should take me'afar sreifas achatas. It says you should take from the dust of the burning of the chatas of the Parah Adumah. Now, the Parah Adumah is not burnt to dust, it's burnt to ashes, and nevertheless, we see the Torah calls it offer. So therefore, so you can say it's included in the category of offer that we said before. Ela dinozah menalon, but how would we know that you could use ground up gold? And the answer is Omer of Zera, because you have a pasuk for Afres Zohav Loi. The pasuk says, and it has gold dust. The pasuk describes a place full of riches. One explanation is that it's referring to Sodom before it was destroyed, where even the very dust of it was gold. So we see, in other words, that the pasuk is calling gold dust, and therefore, so you're allowed to grow. Therefore, you're allowed to use it for kisi adam. Now, Tosfos points out that even though nothing will grow in it, and he said before the rule is something has to grow in it. But it is called offer, and therefore it is called offer in the pasuk, and ashes the same way. So therefore, so you are allowed to use it. Now Tosfos goes on to discuss, in other words, that offer of the pasuk basically means offer regular dust that will grow plants. Because we have the chisahu, then also it means that it can include one or the other. So either plants have to grow in it, or it has to be called offer. So therefore, we have two different possibilities of it. So you have two different definitions of what you can use for kisi adam. You can use something that is called offer, as we have gold over here, which is called offer, or it can be that it's something that grows plants, even if in and of itself it would not be called offer. For example, we said the charsis and other things like that. So those are the rules for what you can use for kisi adam. So the Gemara continues in this connection. Tanan Abanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Machasin Elba Offer Dibbe Vishamai. Now, Vishamai disagrees with everything we've been saying so far, and they say you have to do Kisi Adam specifically with dust. But Vesiloyman, Vesilo says no, you can also use, for example, you can also use ashes. Matsinu Efer Shakari Offer. We find that ashes in the Torah are called offer. Shanema Velokala Tomei Ma'afar Sirefes Vegomer. As it says, you should take for the Tomei from the dust of the burning of the Parah Adumah. So you see that the ashes of the Parah Adumah are called dust in the pasuk, so therefore it should be perfectly good to use for that. On the other hand, with Shammai, what if the Shammai answer to that? They say, sure, ashes are called in the Pasuk dust of burning, but it's not just called plain dust. And over here, you need something that would actually be considered plain, because the Torah says, the offer, meaning that it has to have the name dust and nothing else. Therefore, this Shammai says that ashes would be no good. Now, Tosfos points out, you do find in the Sefer Beitza where Shammai says you can use ashes from a stove for Kisi Adam. So we see even Bish Shammai allows for ashes. Tosfos says the difference would be here. So first of all, one difference would be, so one answer would be it depends what you burnt. If you burnt wood, then yes, it's something that can promote plant growth. But if you burn food, or you burn a talus, like we just said, the guy in the desert, then the Shammai holds that would not grow things in it, and therefore it can't be called offers. Another explanation Tosfos says is that anyway, the statement over there that you can use ashes is maybe not according to this Shammai. It's a separate statement. It's not something. In fact, this Shammai would in fact disagree with that. Okay. The Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, to use more things that you can use for Kisi Adam. And the Chachamim added other materials besides for the list that we said before, in the Braisa, we had a comprehensive list of things we can use for Kisi Adam. So now the Chachamim later on added other things as well. A shocher, you can use ground up charcoal, that choil, and you can use choil, which is a pigment that they would use as eyeshadow. So it was also a powdery stuff. The nikras pisulin, and you can also use nikras pisulin. Rashi defines that as when you're cleaning out millstones have to have a rough surface in order to grind up the grain effectively. So after a while, they tend to wear down and smooth out, and then you need to go. And peck at them in order to roughen the surface again. So therefore, this would be dirt. So therefore, this would be the dust that you get from that. Now Tosfos says that before we mentioned in the Braisa already. Before we mentioned shrika savanim, we mentioned ground up stone. So evidently, this would have to be something slightly different. Where here, it's true, millstones are stones after all. But nevertheless, this would apparently be a different category than the Chacham that especially adds. The Yesh Oimim, Afaz Zaynich, some say that you can also use Zaynich for Kisi Adam. Zaynich is arsenic. So arsenic itself, and you have Rashi translates it as orpiment, which is a compound that contains arsenic in it. But the point is, it's also a type of mineral, and therefore you can use it for Kisi Adam. Now, not necessarily is anything going to grow in it, because arsenic is poisonous after all. But again, we said before, as long as it's called offer, then that's good enough. So evidently, the Udi Ufahamim had held that such things are not in the category of offer, or they don't grow plants. And now the later Ufahamim figured out that either they do grow plants, or they're in the category of offer. And therefore, either way, they're good enough, and you can in fact use them. So in this connection, now let's talk a little piece about Gadta. We're talking about this mitzvah of Kisi Adam the whole time, and the fact that you have to use offer. So now the Gemara says, Omar Rav, B'scharsha Omar Avraham Avinu, V'anot the offer of Eifer, as a reward for that Avraham had said to Hashem in his tefillah when he's davening on behalf of Sodom, he says, I am dust and ashes. So he's showing himself to be a tremendous honor, Zochu Bono, B'shtei mitzvahs, for that his children, was zeichah to two mitzvahs, eifer pora va'afar soita, the ashes of the pora adruma that are mitahar emes, and the dust that's used for a soita. So you have those two mitzvahs that Avraham won for his children as a reward for him talking about himself like that. So we want to ask, so why are we not listing in that connection the dust that's used for Kisi Adam? There is another mitzvah that we do with dust. And the answer is Hosam Heksha Mitzvah Ika Hanah Lekha, because the difference is you're doing a mitzvah with the dust over there, but you're not getting a hanah from it. You could eat the meat even if you didn't do Kisi Adam. So as opposed to Eifer Kara gives you an actual hanah. Without that, you couldn't go into the Mishnah and you couldn't eat Kodshim. The Eifer Soita also brings a benefit. It means, in other words, that now you have Sholem Ben Ishli, which is why Hashem even allows his name to be erased for that. and that if she's innocent, then she'll have children afterwards, and she'll have better children than she did before, and easier labors, and so forth. So you get a direct benefit from Eifer Pura and Afar Soja. You don't get as direct a benefit from doing Kisi Adam. There's a sticha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it. And in Chelet Chofet, when Avraham says, that he's humble. Now, sometimes you can have a person has like, you know, sometimes a person talks in a humble way because it's really a condescending. He feels himself acting higher than other people, and therefore, like, he condescends, like, I'll be nice to you and I'll condescend to you, kind of thing. Avraham wasn't like that. His anivus, his humility was a true one, born of the fact that he realized that compared to Hashem, he's nothing. And Tanya, the Alter Rebbe, explains that when Avraham says, what he means is, like, if you were to take a law of wood and burn it, and all you have left afterwards is the ashes. The ashes, after all, comprise most of the volume of the wood to begin with, and nevertheless, though, they don't begin to compare to the original log. The same way Abraham is saying, as much as I personify, for example, Hashem Chesed, nevertheless, I'm only like the ashes relative to that, relative to the actual midas of Hashem themselves. I'm just like the leftover ashes. So because Abraham had that true humility, therefore he got for his children mitzvahs, which express the humility of Hashem or of the Kohen relative to somebody else. Namely, Hashem, so Eifer Parah is the Kohen. A Kohen usually wants to remain Tahor, but nevertheless, he is willing to make himself Tomei in preparing the Parah Adumah and in touching the Parah Adumah water in order to be Matahar another year. So that's an outgrowth of Avraham's Anova and Midas HaChesed. And with Sota, Hashem himself, so to speak, lets himself be put down. Hashem himself allows his name to be erased, which his name is written in Parashat Sota, and erased into the water over there in order to make Shalom ben Ish Leishtoi, and the dust is part of that as well. And therefore, so those two things specifically are an outgrowth of Avraham's Anova in saying Vanoth be off of it. So we'll continue tomorrow. The Gemara is going to continue with a similar Jerusha about another thing that Abraham said, which also won for his children, for us, certain mitzvahs that otherwise we might not have had, or at least we might not have had to the same degree.